today I'm talking to a woman who can not only find you love, but find you romantic love, especially if you're a high-achieving businesswoman yourself. She's the CEO of a thriving seven-figure business. She currently serves a highly engaged clientele across 30 countries. Her clients are Hollywood celebrities, TV stars, CEOs, bankers, lawyers, doctors, authors, entrepreneurs, and more. And her name is Sammy Wonder. Hi, Sammy. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hi, Josephine. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. So what exactly does Sammy Wonder do then, your company?
Well, we are here to serve, just as you said, the high-achieving, successful woman who knows that she's a catch, but is having a hard time getting her love life in order. So we help this woman by a set process, the Wunda Soulmate Attraction Method, that I call my trademark process. And we help her find her soulmate, that dream relationship. What we also do is we empower women when it comes to their confidence. And we also serve married women and women in relationships who may be struggling to save their relationship or who just may be feeling disconnected with their partners.
Okay, so can you tell us the seven steps you do to find romantic love?
There are six steps, very happy to take you through them. So the six-step process is for the singles. Mm. So the first step is mindset. So I believe our mind is so powerful, and it can either set us up for success or it can set us up for failure. Now, the thing is that most women who come to us, it's not like they've not tried their hand at love. They've tried their hand at love and they've often failed miserably at it, which means that they've accumulated a lot of bad experiences with men. They probably hate men. They probably go about, you know, thinking that there are no good men out there because of the bad experiences that they have accumulated. So when they come to us, one of the first things we work on is how to have a winner's mindset, because if you're going to believe that all men are douchebags, and if you're going to believe that it's never going to work out and love is useless anyway, then you're just going to become a more embittered and jaded version of yourself. And it's really important, if you want to attract that love in your life, that you believe in love, that you really fundamentally believe in love, that you really fundamentally believe in the power of healthy companionships and healthy relationships. And number two, that you believe in how love can support your success. So this is one thing, one mindset that it is very important for me to inculcate with my clients, which is that your success is not an obstacle to your love life. Because a lot of women think, if I'm smart and I'm brainy and I'm successful, then I can't have love because men don't like successful, strong women. And this is nothing but a limiting belief. So when our clients come to us, we're all about helping them first fall in love with the idea of love again, that love doesn't have to be hard, that love doesn't have to be painful, that men can be amazing and they have tremendous capacity to love us. And last but not the least, that our success and our brains and our smartness is not an impediment to having a healthy relationship.
Yeah, yes, it's, I mean, why do you think successful women feel they're being used, or that they've, you know, why doesn't it happen for them as much? Do you think because they're so driven in other areas, they can't have time for romance?
I think not having time is definitely a piece of the puzzle. But I think what's a bigger piece of the puzzle is that the successful woman increasingly likes to be in control.
Yes.
And increasingly likes to have things her way, and increasingly closes her heart down. She becomes very guarded. Yeah. Why? Because that's the way you operate. You know,
when
When you are very successful, what do? You understand that bad things happen, that shit happens, and then you guard yourself against it. You become extremely skeptical. You stop trusting. You stop going with the flow. You really start to build an ego, and you really start to believe you know everything. Yeah. And so I think I think successful women lead with their success in dating. So this would look like a woman who shows up and talks a lot about her achievements and says, you know, I built a six-figure business. I built a seven-figure business. I speak 20 languages. I can do this and this and this. And so she's not still aware of the fact that love and heart connection doesn't happen because of what you've achieved. It happens because of who you are.
And so how do we find ourselves? How would you help her find herself?
So one of the first things we would do is to see if she's in performance mode on dates and with men. So I teach this concept of performance versus connection. So most successful women, when they will show up on dates, what we do is we go on a live demonstration with them. So I'll sit with them, I'll play the guy, and then I'll be like, we're on a date now. And then you'll start to see very quickly how she behaves. You know, if you ask her to introduce herself, she will speak for 5 minutes as if it were a job interview where she's being evaluated by the guy. And she'll tell you everything about herself. And she'll say, you know, she'll list all her achievements. And she'll basically try to show that she's a catch.
Yeah.
And she will try to get selected for the job.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yes.
the funny thing is that energy screams of insecurity at a very deep level. And it screams of if you were really successful, you wouldn't need to show it and sing about it, right? You would just behave successful. You would just relax, be calm, lean back, you know, let's see where this goes and let's see if we like each other as two individuals, not as two high achievers, but as two individuals. So this woman is used to performing. And I mean, I to be honest, I have so much compassion for this woman because I used to be this way myself. So it's not like I'm sitting high on a pedestal and lecturing women to stop performing for men. What I'm saying is that I know I've been there and it came from a really good place because I know I'm a good person and I just wanted to showcase it on when I was dating, right? And the internet is full of advice for women on how they should show up. And there's already so much pressure to look good, to smell good, to talk witty, to be smart. So this is another thing that, you know, when you are in performance mode for men and on dates, you're going to really try hard to be witty, to be humorous, to, you know, crack jokes.
Try too hard, aren't you, Sammy?
And
you'll try too hard and you're going to put anybody off, aren't you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's the trying hard energy, and it's really, really hard to catch. Mm. It's hard to catch for herself. It's very easy to receive for the man, because I always say men are very sensitive and they have these extremely sensitive radars around women and their insecurities. So they pick up on the insecurity, but this highly successful woman is most often on autopilot. So what we say is stop the performance and make space for connection. Connection happens in a space of effortlessness. In other words, every time I find myself trying to connect, I'm not connecting.
Lovely.
And for connection to happen, I need to lean back. I need to relax. I need to see how it unfolds. Maybe I don't want to fill in all the silences.
Yeah.
Maybe I just, you know, want to take my time revealing myself versus just vomiting everything about myself and oversharing.
Yeah.
So that's what we teach.
It's fantastic because I realize I went round it completely the wrong way. I've got a massive ego and I can't stop talking about myself. I mean, I'm definitely one of those women, you know. I mean, I just throw everything at things, you know what I mean? And you're right, just be more. I think it's a very good thing for everyday life to learn this, to be a bit more laid back, isn't it?
Yeah, and romance is about unfolding. Mm. It's not something that you can make it happen.
Yeah.
It's not a dish you can cook. You're not completely in charge. It's almost like you throw in the cumin and he throws in the salt. And maybe he decides to throw in the chili and then you decide, oh, then that would mean I need to balance this with some apples. You know, so you are not in charge of what's cooking. There are two people involved, and that requires letting go and enjoying the unfolding versus trying to control the entire mood and the entire recipe. Very good. Also what high caliber men do not enjoy, because by instinct they want to be more in control. So just like we have controlling instincts, high caliber men also have those instincts, but I would just double and triple those instincts with the testosterone and the drive for being in control.
But the trouble is, imagine if you meet someone that is a complete control freak and you just end up being controlled by them. You don't really want that, do you?
No, and that's, I think that's a brilliant point, because I think a lot of the times women confuse femininity, what I'm talking about, letting go, surrendering more, as being doormatty. And that's not the same thing. You know, feminine energy, and I know we're digressing now, and we're into many of my steps at the same time. Mm. What is important is I say you are like steel on the inside, and you are soft and inviting on the outside. Oh. The soft and inviting on the outside is your feminine energy, your radiance. I think women are born with it. We don't have to try too hard to have it. It's inside of every woman. I'm sure, Josephine, when you flip your hair, you know, there are men who just naturally turn around. You know, we don't have to try too hard for that element outside of softness and surrender and sweetness. And then steel inside is our freaking boundaries. Mm-hmm. Is our ability to say no. And it's our ability to not back down where it really matters for us. Yeah. So a lot of the times, you see, the stereotype that prevails in society, and I've heard it, you know, when I went on Time magazine and Forbes magazine, we got rejected so many times before we got published there, because the women in charge were very, very powerful women, and they wanted to throw up when they heard the word feminine energy.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, but these are the women who want to throw up that need to hear this message the most. Trust me, because I work with these women, so I know that they're the ones who need to hear this message the most. And the issue is that the ideas around feminine energy are very stereotypical, and they're based on incomplete information and incomplete knowledge. And the stereotypical image is of that helpless woman who can't look after herself, who can't take care of herself, who doesn't have a voice, and she's just at the mercy of a man. And she does everything that the man wants, and then that's why she's lucky to, you know, be married and have a happy family, because she's that way. Now, that's not me to start with. I have a very strong voice. I get to speak up against my resentments to my husband. I get to say, I don't like this. Can we please do this differently? And yet I get to be soft and surrendered. So this is the magical combination that we're talking about, which is soft on the outside, strong on the inside. Now, what is the successful woman most often? She's the opposite. She is what I like to call a cactus. Yeah. She has thorns on the outside, which means don't come near me. I bite.
Yeah.
I'm not very approachable. Mm-hmm. I've got my shit together. I don't need you. I don't need a man. Yeah. I don't need anything from anyone. I'm completely self-sufficient. And inside, she's mushy and gooey and sensitive and soft-hearted. And she's probably very emotional, and she goes home and she's got her tissue box, and she's got that one or two confidants where she, you know, opens up and shares her vulnerability. So we're looking at turning this around. We are looking at strengthening the inside so much, and a woman believing in her power so much that she can relax on the outside, because she freaking doesn't need to go and control everything and do a big show of her strength, because that strength is on the inside and she can just relax in it. So my clients, for example, they'll show up on dates and they'll be totally leaned back, relaxed, you know, let go, surrender. The guy picks up the check, and then the guy wants to get like hot on them, and he'll put his hands on their thighs, and they'd be like, sorry, that's too fast for me.
Yeah.
And they'll put the hand away.
So they know that
the guy is totally mesmerized because he thought this was a woman he could just, you know, control and drive along, and she isn't. And she's very hypnotic. This woman who knows her value and her boundaries on the inside, but is soft on the outside, is very, very hypnotic.
It's brilliant. I think it's really good. You're originally from India. Do you think the kind of spiritual way of doing things there has influenced the way you think? And I'm wondering, you know, feminine, you talk about feminine energy, you talk about, you know, the way you describe things. I'm wondering whether it's been an influence on you.
I would say it's been quite the contrary.
Ah, tell me why.
I grew up as a very survival-based woman who just knew how to work hard, who just knew how to survive, who just knew how to bury her head in books and get ahead and win her gold medals and get all her awards.
Because that's what your parents wanted. You did what your parents wanted.
I did what my parents wanted, but I also have to say society played a role in that, because when you grow up in a country like India, I'm not speaking for everyone, I'm speaking for myself. I grew up seeing that women were raped and women were groped, and I saw that patriarchy where I felt really unsafe, and I felt if I decided to flip my hair and wear beautiful things, then I would probably, you know, get pinched around and pass lewd comments on the public transport. And so I think the country played a huge role in me shutting my femininity out. Mm-hmm. I felt like I had to man up and be brave and be strong so that all these men wouldn't come at me. Wow. Now, this changed drastically when I moved to Germany. Mm-hmm. I got a scholarship for my master's. So I was always the hardworking, brainy girl, you know.
Yeah.
And then when I came here, I suddenly saw that you could walk the roads at night in a skirt. So firstly, that was like huge for me to feel free. And then that men would not like pinch you or pass rude comments. And that is when all of this started. Like, that is when I was like, wow, you know, I can look pretty and I can be myself and I am still safe. So it must mean that it's safe to, you know, be a woman and to not like hide my beauty, the choices in my clothes. So I think India had a completely opposite impact on me, if I'm honest.
Wow. But I think it's very interesting that you talk about energy and all those things, which are quite sort of spiritual in a way, you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I would say today, from today's standpoint, I think India has a lot to offer spiritually.
Yeah.
Right? I would not have looked at these practices and appreciated them when I was living there.
No.
Today, when I live in Germany, and I'm often in the UK as well, I would say that India has so much to offer when it comes to, you know, meditation, for example.
Exactly.
Ayurveda, you know, all this art of wellness that we go for spa days.
Yeah.
It's all emerging from the Eastern wisdom, you know.
Yeah.
So definitely feminine energy. What is feminine energy? It's all about learning how to be more in your body and more self-connected versus connected with your ego, which is your mind.
Yeah. Which is, again, is a very... You know, that's again an Indian sort of way of looking at things, isn't it? Not to have an
absolutely,
Indian.
Absolutely.
So it's really good. So you've honed ideas and put them into a sort of Western concept to help us women find romantic love. Now, the word romantic love, even when I kind of when I heard on your website romantic love, I felt cynical immediately. I thought, well, who's more romantic, men or women? Who is it, Sammy? Who would you say?
Do I have to choose one?
Yes.
Honestly, I feel men are more romantic.
So do I. I totally agree with you. Yeah.
Okay, good. Then we're on the same page. Yeah. Because I always tell women, you know, when you do find the right man, and through my work, women do find the right men. We've had 170 client engagements in 4 years.
Wow.
So you can imagine, we really know where we know what we're teaching works for our clients, and we're really trying to hone in on the process and get better and better at teaching it every year. So I would say that when you do find that guy for you who loves you and adores you, you're going to be surprised at how well he's going to treat you. He's going to treat you beyond you ever thought it was possible, or you ever secretly knew, thought you deserved. And that's how my husband treats me till today. You know, when I'm in a bad mood and I'm being all, you know, hair tied up, ugly, angry, you know, that he still has that love for me. And that's priceless.
So lastly, can you tell us how you met your partner, and did you use your steps?
I would say I created the steps after I had met him. So when I was attracting him, I think I was playing more of a self-awareness game.
Yeah.
with myself that, oh, okay, you know, I'm gonna rotational date, for example. I'm gonna What's see that? many men at the same time.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah. So I met my husband at university, mm-hmm. and we were both doing our masters. And while I was dating him, I was also dating a banker, a lawyer. And so I had a good menu of options to choose from. And I think what was really powerful was with Chris was that when I met him, I did not think that he was the one. Mm. Because the other guys had more, you know, what I thought matched my mental image of what my husband would look like.
Yeah.
They were more suited, booted, already had jobs, already had money, already were successful. And here he was, you know, with me in my master's. He's a year older and he's in my master's. And so I was like, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try. I'm going to just let all these men surprise me, impress me. I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to let it unfold versus trying to control it. So what was interesting was that he started to show way more masculine, healthy masculine energy. Like, he would stay in communication more frequently. He would plan really nice dates. He would really care if I said something made me happy. You know, he would
remember
do
it.
That.
Yeah.
And so I started to see that all these men who were appearing otherwise charming and very witty and, you know, their perfume smelled great, they were sparking chemistry inside of me. Mm. But there was a power to being really desired and wanted by a man.
Yeah.
And that is what my husband offered. And of course, he was, you know, good looking, 6 feet, 2 inches tall, attractive. But I would say that is when I really started to hone in on, oh, my God, you know, I can pine after those men, or I can have a man who really adores me and turns me on because of how much he adores me. Yeah. And so I would say that was the journey for me, because before Chris, I would pine after men who didn't want me.
Yeah.
And I would just like treat like crap the men who did want me. Yeah. Because just, I mean, their biggest disqualification was that they liked me.
Yes.
They could be the best guys on the planet. And they're all happily married now. So I know that the men who were chasing me were good guys. But just their biggest disqualification was that they liked me. So there was something about being turned on by men who were not into me. And this is the pattern I was able to flip when I started doing the self-love, self-worth work on myself, which is actually one of the steps, because we started with the steps. You know, we work on mindset, then we work on self-love and self-worth, you know, feeling deserving of feeling loved by a good man. Number three is intimacy fears. Step number three.
Yeah.
Where we, you know, help women who almost, you know, very afraid. They say they want a relationship, but actually they're really afraid of letting a man in and losing their freedom, yeah. Right? So it's like, I've built such a good life for myself. I drive a Mercedes convertible. I have all the success, and now a man is going to come and screw this all up,
yeah.
Right? So there's intimacy fears, and we help them overcome intimacy fears. And number four is feminine and masculine energy. We teach them the balance. I truly believe that women also need their masculine energy. So I couldn't have built such a successful company if I was just leaned back and surrendered. There is a role for our masculine energy in our lives. And I teach women how to balance the two energies so that they're, you know, being balanced individuals at a very bigger picture, in a very bigger picture way. And step number five is rotational dating, date more than one man at the same time.
So you can compare
them. And
step
number six is understanding men and the differences between how the male brain thinks and how the female brain thinks.
Well, I think it sounds, you covered everything, Sammy. It sounds wonderful.
Awesome.
Great. So how do people contact you then?
Well, they can find me on my website, samiwunder.com, SamiWunder. We also run a really active private Facebook group. It's free for everyone to join. It's called Wunder Divas, WunderDivas.
Great
and
name.
It's got 15,000 members and all divas humming with high vibe diva energy.
Fabulous. Sounds like you have great fun.
We do. I think fun is so important.
Oh, well, look, it's lovely to meet you. And thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous. That's
thank
wonderful.
You.
Gorgeous entrepreneurs on Radio Gorgeous.